What's good and welcome to the Hockey Mailbag, the first sports podcast run by you, the listeners. I'm your host, Brandon Rewicki, and each episode follows a simple format. You send me whatever hockey-related questions are on your mind, and I provide the answers. If you want to be a part of the podcast, just send your questions to hockeymailbag@gmail.com or to me on Twitter at Brandon_Rewicki. All right, we've got ourselves a busy one today with a pretty obvious topic, cross-checking the start of the mailbag. So we'll dive on in just a sec, but some changes on deck moving forward for the podcast. So I think some introductions are in order here. Your questions, to be honest, have overwhelmed me, and I'm overwhelmed with two little ones already, so I need some help. And so joining the podcast with the unofficial title of Question Master will be sports broadcaster, as well as my brother, Tyson Rewicki. Welcome, Tyson, and how's it going today? Thank you for joining in as a question master of the Hockey Mailbag.
Hey, it's an absolute honor to be a part of the program. And you know what? Like, I've always wanted to be a question master. I don't even know what that really means, but now that I officially have this title, I feel like I can accomplish a lot more in life going forward.
Okay, easy there. It's my show, Tyson. Let's ease up on the word count a little bit. This is pretty much what we do nonstop. I guess just a quick intro, like tell people, you know, what it is you do, 10 seconds about who you are, and we'll get this puppy rolling.
Yeah. I'm a Flyers fan, just like Brandon. I'm a content producer for one of the local radio stations here in Winnipeg. Worked a lot of Jets games over the past few years. And aspiring sports broadcaster still, but taking the step forward. And now I can add Question Master to the resume.
Well, it's either going to shoot you to the top or you'll be finding a new job pretty soon. So you'll get some clarity either way, which is nice. But let's get on with the questions now. And like I said, and as you can imagine, yes, the main topic involved the golden boy himself getting the proverbial spray bottle from the Department of Player Safety. Plenty of action on Connor McDavid's 3-game suspension for cross-checking Connor Garland. So, Tice, what was the best question of the bunch? Or maybe what was the only one we could read on air? Either way works for me.
There was quite a few that we cannot read on air, but the first one today is coming from Kevin. And Kevin says, people are out to lunch when they say the NHL needs to protect their stars like the NFL. Mahomes and the Chiefs are unwatchable now.
Interesting. And it would, maybe we should have a hockey mailbag after dark where we can dive into some of those unsavory questions that we get. But thanks for the question there, Kev. And that was a pretty popular, I guess, sentiment around the hockey world, right? Like it felt like it was, you know, warring tribes where half of it is, this is why you need to protect the stars. The other half saying, you know, kind of like you mentioned there, the NFL and the NBA are unwatchable because of how they go in and baby the best of the best for that league. And like I've said before on the podcast, I'm not a hot take merchant. So sadly for me, the truth kind of falls somewhere in between. But this is kind of where I come in on this. The NHL doesn't necessarily need to protect its stars the way that the NFL does. The main reason being the NFL protects their quarterbacks from violent, devastating, injury-filled hits. And they want to keep those guys healthy and safe because without them, the product suffers. Like, I mean, the drop-off from your top-level quarterbacks to the backups is so immense, the product becomes almost unwatchable. We're not talking about, I think, in that same vein, protecting the stars of the NHL, because for the most part, we don't see them take these big shots, right? Like they're not getting Scott Stevens in the middle of the ice. But what I think the clarification needs to be is the NHL doesn't need to protect their stars. They need to call the freaking rule book for their stars. That's it. That's all I'm asking for. I think that's all a lot of people are asking for. We don't need preferential treatment for the McDavids and the McKinnons of the world. But when you have a guy bear hugging the best player on the planet for 15 full seconds, I don't know about you, Tice, but that to me is the definition of a holding penalty. You could have legitimately called 3, 4, 5 holding penalties on Garland in that initial sequence before the cross check officially happens. And that to me is where that needs to be the biggest change in how the NHL, I think, officiates, but also quote unquote protects their stars. Because if you truly want them to shine, and you want them to stand apart and market your game and showcase the best that the league has to offer, you cannot force them to fight through more than what anybody else out there on the ice has to fight through. And that, to me, is the big differentiator between the two. Now, I will say this. Just because McDavid is getting bear hugged and mauled for several seconds does not give you the right to cross-check somebody in the face. Like that, there, I think we could all agree that there's, you know, peeling back the onion, there's layers to this. McDavid was fully, fully worthy of that suspension, right? Because ultimately, no matter what happened, I think pretty much whatever happens on the ice, you cannot be cross-checking people in the face. And Garland was lucky not to, I mean, you're talking about a potential serious injury. Like, he was the one that was at the most risk of a serious injury there. But you could also make the case that if McDavid sees a holding penalty called within the first few seconds of that melee happening, maybe the cross check doesn't happen, right? So ultimately, for me, this is on the league mandating for their officials that when you see a penalty, you call it. This is not rocket science. I feel like this is a common ground we can all agree upon. I know Canucks fans, Oilers fans, you get a little nutty there. So like, don't come at me too hard here. I'm kind of on both your sides right now, but that to me was just the obvious thing there, where it's ridiculous that you're allowing any player, let alone McDavid, to get borderline, you know, it wasn't a vicious attack, but to get carried all over the ice there in the final minute and a half of a hockey game. It's just inexcusable by the NHL. So that would be my take on that one, Tyson. And thank you so much for the question there, Kevin. I did see some people wondering if, you know, we weren't necessarily asked this, but is the 3 games enough? Is that too strict? Is it too lenient? Like, what is it there? I have no problem. Any kind of vicious headshot by a stick, by a cross check, by a shoulder, you know, make it 5 games, right? Like, if you want to take this stuff out of the game, I have no problem with the DOPS getting a little stricter in terms of how they mete out and dole out punishment there. Got no problem for McDavid. Maybe you toss on another one for the chicken wing on, who was it, Johansson with Minnesota the other night? Like, he had it coming. So it'll be interesting to see, though, what the repercussions are moving forward with how McDavid and his relationship with the officials is going to play out there. But thank you for the question, Kevin, and thank you for kicking us off with that one. Nice. Oh, yeah, sorry. You want to touch on something quick?
Oh, I just want to say, well, let's just not call... But let's not have playoff style reffing halfway through the season too. You know what I mean? Like, let's just, if you're going to allow things to go in the playoffs, then at least be a little bit more stringent in the regular season, right? You want more goals in the regular season. That's what everyone wants.
Yeah. Well, I want my goals all the time. So yeah, just call it. That's it. Just call it. It's not too hard to ask for. Well, who's next up here? I think we're staying with the Edmonton Vancouver situation, right?
Yeah, more so the Vancouver situation. And the next one actually comes from the Rempe Express. And the Rempe Express says, "Hey, Brandon, nice call on JT Miller to Vegas. If the New York Ranger deal falls through, what should the new trade destinations is best fit for JT Miller?"
Yeah. Thanks, Express. Appreciate that. Yeah, if I mean, I don't know if you heard this, Tyson, or if anybody's new to the podcast for this episode, but I mentioned talking about JT Miller trade predictions that I didn't think the Rangers one would happen. And my dark horse pick was that Vegas would do what Vegas does and cold-hearted business decision trade Willie Karlsson in a package to get JT Miller from Vancouver there. Hey, it's still on the table, I guess, but yeah, looking pretty unlikely right now. I love it. Chirp it. Like, chirp away at me. That's what we're all here for. But the new destination. So we've seen, obviously, the Rangers deal fall through for various reasons. I think that's a brutal one for Vancouver. I'm shocked they even considered it, if it's what the reported ask was. Cheetah Lindgren, a first, something like that. But Dallas is now in play. New Jersey is now in play. Am I missing anybody else there?
Carolina.
Carolina. So out of those three new teams, which one is the best? I mean, from a Vancouver perspective, it has to be New Jersey, right? Like, I mean, because they've got, when you're making a trade and you're shipping out a high-end talent, to me, the main goal is how do we get high-end talent back? And out of those teams mentioned there, Simon Nemec has to be the best of the bunch. Some, maybe I think, valid questions. Is he going to live up to that number two pick potential? But none of those guys have that kind of potential that would be involved in a deal. Maybe Carolina throws that Nikishin into the conversation and then you get a little interested with that one. But to me, Simon Nemec being the centerpiece of a potential deal, if I'm a Canucks fan, that's the one that I want to jump all over all day long. And if Dawson Mercer's the throw in, yeah, we'll take a shot at a guy that looked pretty good, you know, two seasons ago as a centerman. So that, yeah, I think that one's a pretty obvious one. Dallas. I think Dallas would be a good fit for JT Miller. I don't know if the Canucks would maybe like the trade package back. I think I'd go Devils, Hurricanes, and Stars in that order.
Yeah, I honestly think that the Hurricanes would be top of my list. I mean, you mentioned Nikishin, but then they also have Artemanov. Sorry if I mispronounced there.
Yeah, you said that confidently, so I'm sure it was right.
But I mean, like, they do have a lot of top end prospects if they do want to go that route. I mean, I'm kind of with you that I kind of doubt that they want to look at the prospect pool, but Carolina's got the picks and prospects to pull a deal off if that's what the Canucks are looking for.
We will see. One more on the Canucks, Tice?
Yes, and this is the other star word. Things are kind of in flux there, but this comes from Van City Joe. Van City Joe says, why isn't there more talk about the Canucks moving Elias Pettersson? Dude's been a bum for the last two seasons.
Well, I don't know, bum. That might be a bit strong. Like, thanks for the question, by the way, Joe. Yeah, I don't know. What do you have? 90 points last? Like, 90 points isn't bum territory. I mean, he's been pretty iffy this year. You know, for what he makes, 30 points in 40 games might be bumish territory. So that's fair. So I might say this season's been bum worthy, but I don't necessarily disagree with that. I feel like I have to kind of whisper it or else the city of Vancouver is going to get pissed at me. Here's the thing with the Pettersson Miller situation. I think immediately JT Miller needs to be shipped out. And I've mentioned this before, but like said, basically this is our quote unquote trade deadline. Best offer gets him, because I just think the longer this goes on, the more prolonged the locker room issues are going to get. It's clear this is affecting Pettersson more than anybody else on the team. And he's, to a degree, shut down. It's just, you know, he's kind of a quiet, maybe more laid back guy. And he's just not dealing with it well. So I think, like, if you're Vancouver, you need to take these next 30 some odd games here and figure out that exact thing. Like, do we want this guy? Like, do we want to pay him 10 plus mil? Fifth highest paid player in the league? Like, is he worthy of being the centerpiece of our franchise with Quinn Hughes? That to me is why I'm kind of, you know, almost trying to not rush it, but push the pace on a deal here. The other thing that does worry me, Tice, is there's been kind of rumors or reports of knee tendonitis, or I don't know if arthritis has been mentioned, but like some kind of knee ligament issue. That scares the hell out of me. Like that, I would still probably go after him just because these number one centers are so hard to find. And I take the risk, but like that, I mean, Vancouver would know that better than anybody. So maybe if a deal is done, maybe they're like, let's get out of this one while we can. But that does scare me a little bit. But I think the prudent move is to hold on to Pettersson for the time being. And then a decision can be made kind of similar to what we saw with PK Subban in Montreal, where if you want to make a trade, you do it before July 1. Before his NMC kicks in, and you kind of chart a new path if you're the Vancouver Canucks there. So plenty of moving parts on that one for sure, but appreciate the question. What was it, Van City Joe? Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Joe, for that one there. He's a bum Pettersson a little bit. He's having a tough time, but that's no bum there for the last 2 years.
Yeah, that no movement clause that you didn't mention is a key one. You know, like if you have the opportunity to ship him off wherever you want to, that is a little bit more intriguing. Like, as you see with the JT Miller situation, you're kind of handcuffed a little bit.
Yeah, and they will not have a shortage of suitors, even with uncertainty about his recent level of play and maybe injuries as well there. But let's move it on here. We've got a couple more questions to get to before we wrap up the episode. Thanks again, by the way, for listening to the Hockey Mailbag. Next up, we're going out east, Tice.
Yes, and this next one comes from Lou. Not Strombone one, but just Lou.
Straight up Lou.
And he's got a question about the Flyers. And he says, I know you're a Flyers fan like me, so tell me why I shouldn't be worried about this rebuild failing.
Oh, I think this is the first Flyers question we've done. There's probably a reason for that. I just don't want to talk about them. But thanks for the question there, Lou. I'll say this. Lou might be the least unhinged Flyers fan / Philly person that I've ever met. So like that, hey, thank you for that. But yeah, there's a lot of temperature, and this is just the nature of Philly sports on the Flyers, kind of being stuck in that mushy middle. Are they going to find a way to get that high-end talent, all that stuff? I'll say this. This is still really early in Danny Briere's tenure as GM, right? Like, he hasn't, maybe it feels like he's been there a lot longer. Maybe people have Chuck Fletcher PTSD and they've lost all sense of time, but he hasn't been on the job an extremely long time. So I think there needs to be a little bit of lenience given to him and the rest of the management ownership group, everything like that. I would say you can kind of start to judge this thing. You know, you can do it whenever you want, but I think you can kind of give it a hard line judgment once this offseason comes to an end. You've got three first round picks if you're the Flyers in this year's draft. We'll see what happens at the deadline with them. I think they'll move Ristolainen, get a first-ish back in value there. Maybe a Scott Laudon gets moved. Maybe something else is in the works. But to me, this is really, these next few months are ultimately going to be what determines not the future, the fate of the franchise. I'm not that, you know, in terms of giving it an ultimatum, that harsh on it. But I just think you'll get a sense in terms of what this management group is thinking. And if their insistence on culture over tanking is ultimately going to be the right choice. I honestly think either path can work. It just has to be done with a clear vision in mind and sticking to that plan, even when things aren't going 100% the way you imagined it would be. Because we've seen both situations work. Like the Bruins, the Blues have both won cups, been to cup finals, leaning on culture over top five picks, even though they had some of those. But we've also seen the Pittsburghs, the Colorados, even Chicago to an extent, go on many dynastic runs, kind of centering on that model there. So it can go either way there, but I would say really hold back. You've got a top line piece in Travis Konecny. You've got a top pair defenseman in Travis Sanheim. Like so many other teams outside the playoff picture, their hunt for the number one center is ultimately going to determine whether this thing succeeds or fails moving forward. But I'm willing to give a couple more months at the very least to see where this thing goes and what the direction is like there. But appreciate the question, Lou, on that one. And I promise that'll be the last Flyers one we do for quite some time. Just kidding. But three more to go here, it looks like. So Tyson, next up.
Yeah, we got a Leafs Forever 57.
Oh,
yeah, I know. Okay, I know.
Okay, just hurry it up.
But Leafs Forever 57 says, I regret to inform that I am Charlie Brown with the football all over again.
Oh, no.
Diehard Leafs fans since I was born, and I'm believing in this team to go deep this spring. Please talk me back to reality.
All right, well, thank you. I wonder if there's already like a bit of, he's got some issues going on where it's 57 instead of 67, but regardless of that, yeah, I guess we'll do a Leafs thing. All right, so talking back off away from believing in this team as a playoff contender, I guess, is the line of thinking, the line of questioning there. Okay. Well, that won't be difficult to do. So here's why. Here's why you shouldn't have any faith in them, because this exact group has failed year after year after year after year after year. So there's that part of it. But I would say this about the Leafs. And look, I was nowhere near a Leafs fan, don't get me wrong, but I was a sucker. I was like, this team can get it done. So much high-end talent, they're going to figure out a way. And I was like, this is the year. And then 2 years ago, I'm like, nah, I'm out. I'm just done. These guys don't have it. And I was finally, you know, proven right in that, along with the majority of hockey fans there. But here's the thing. Mitch Marner is a soon-to-be UFA. If/when this team flames out in the first round, he will clearly be shown the door, I would imagine. And at the very least, you'll have a new group to either hang your hat on or to be disappointed in. But it will be something new and fresh. And at the very least, then there's no more pain. There's less pain. And you can kind of start the healing process, I think, a little more efficiently that way. The thing with Toronto, though, is, and Berube's been good there. Like, I think he's a nice fit. They should, honestly, they should have done that move in terms of firing Keith like 2 years ago, just to see, is it the coach, is it the players? Just a wasted season, I guess a year and a half ago. But it really comes down to the Leafs' two things. The main one being they can trade and they can, you know, switch who the goalie is, find new defensemen, all that stuff, alternate bottom six pieces. Their stars just need to be stars. That's it, right? Like they base themselves off the Penguins model where Crosby, Malkin, Letang got paid X amount of the cap more than anybody else. But what do? Like they balled every single playoff. Like they were dogs and they justified that price tag. And for a lot of those years, just flat out carried the Penguins deep into postseason run after postseason run, which I regrettably have to admit as a Flyers fan. So that's thing number one. Like it's got to be Matthews and Marner truly, truly becoming impact postseason players. Both of them. I don't think Matthews gets as much heat as he, like Marner takes all of it, I think. But Matthews as well probably deserves a decent amount of criticism for not scoring anywhere near the pace that he does during the regular season. But the other thing is, and I always laugh at this, people are like, the Leafs need to get D. They need to get more defensemen. They need to get a higher end guy. They play good defensively and have done so for years. They score zippo in the playoffs when it matters. And the other thing the Penguins had back in the day, yes, Crosby, Malkin helps. But when they won their first cup, Jordan Staal, elite third line center. When they won their next two cups, Phil the Thrill, ultimate X factor, game breaker on the third line. That's what the Maple Leafs miss more than anything. I think for them, screw the defense to an extent. But you need that tertiary game breaker there. That if Matthews, Marner, Nylander aren't going, that's the difference maker. And the other teams can't account for that. That, to me, is the biggest thing missing for Toronto right now. So, Leafs fan 57. I don't think I did talk you off, actually. I might have just talked myself into Toronto making a run here. Oh, God. Okay, we got to move on. This is disgusting. Two more to go. Next up, Tice.
Next up is Doug, and Doug just wants some carnage for some organizations. But he just says, it's a straight up easy question. Which team needs to blow it up the most?
Love it, Doug. Straight to the point. That's the kind of guy I like. Everybody needs a Doug in their group. You know who I want to say? The Predators.
Wow.
Ooh, yeah, I don't know. So the reason I say that is, like, I mean, it's been a disaster for them. And they're going to finish with one of the three worst records in all of hockey, barring some insane run at the end here. I mean, I wonder, like, could you get out of maybe one or two of those deals? Maybe move a piece or two and just fully commit to the future? If you're Nashville, you've got three firsts this year as well. Like, blow it up might be a bit high. I just kind of wonder a little bit, like, could Nashville do almost like a, you know, not a full atomic bomb blow it up, but like just like a little landmine sort of a thing. I wonder a little bit about Nashville, but I think the obvious answer, and you know what? Since Doug is straight to the point, so will I be. The New York Islanders. We all know it. We all see it. I love Islanders fans. They are also unhinged beauties, like a lot of Philadelphia faithful there, but it's an old team. Not a lot of prospects, if any, coming through the meat grinder anytime soon, and just too many guys that are solid to good, but not great to excellent. So I'll go with the Islanders there to blow it up. And thanks for the short and sweet one there, Doug. All right, next up, Tice.
Yeah, next up we got James. And James says, contender that has the most to lose at the deadline.
Interesting. Most to lose. So okay, that, I haven't really heard. Okay. Most to lose. I would throw Toronto in there. I might throw Carolina in there as well. The most to lose, though, that implies that, I guess, if you don't make a move, you're missing out. I don't think Toronto's current group can get it done. I think they need one more piece there. I thought Carolina had it with Gensel last year, but it just didn't work out for them. I thought that might have been the missing piece to push them over the top, and they're maybe still looking for either a second line center or a secondary impact piece there. I mentioned Winnipeg in an episode before. I think they need to be the most aggressive, but do they have the most to lose? I don't necessarily know about that.
I would just argue that with all their unrestricted free agents too, like if you don't go out and make some moves and you don't go on a deep playoff run, you lose those free agents too.
For nothing, right? Right.
Yeah, a lot to lose.
That's a valid point. And Edmonton, I think Edmonton has the most to lose in general, just by, like, they need to get a cup and they need to do it ASAP. Well, you have McDavid, Draisaitl well within their prime there. So not much of a great answer on my part now that I kind of say this out loud there. So apologies for that. But I would toss in, I think I would go Toronto, Winnipeg, Edmonton for varying reasons there. But I just think if I'm the Oilers, man, let's just screw the future. There is no future. The present is now. Let's find a way to get it done. All right. And that will do it for the questions. Thanks everybody for sending those in. And like I mentioned, since we have a new member of the show, we've also got a new feature to end out the show. And so that would be Tyson's question of the week. I have no idea what this is going to be. I have no idea if this will be a reoccurring feature. This is really up to Tyson and what he does with this one here. It can be random. It can be hockey related, whatever it is. So Tyson, question of the week before we wrap things up here.
Yeah, it's not necessarily NHL related, but it's topical. So on Tuesday night, the Oilers played the Capitals. And there was a bit of a weird occurrence where Corey Perry avoided some nachos. And the puck ended up behind Logan Thompson, essentially. And so, you know, why would you throw a good, perfectly good thing of nachos out on the ice? You know what I'm saying? So I'm just thinking, what's your go-to stadium food when you go to an arena? Like, okay, what are you not going to throw on the ice? Or maybe you will throw it if it's warranted.
Oh, there's an obvious. Oh, soft pretzel all the way. Soft pretzel all the way. That is that. I don't know if it gets better than that. Popcorn's pretty good too. Like I've kind of come around on popcorn. The problem is it's like, here's 2.5 gallons of popcorn. Like, well, like I appreciate the high blood pressure all the salt's giving me, but like I'm just not gonna have that much. But the soft pretzel is ideal, I think. I mean, it's tasty as hell. You got some salt on there, not too much. Dipping sauces, maybe if that's available. Handheld, one hand, pretzel, one hand, cold one, the other. I don't think this is up for debate.
The soft pretzel is a good one. I mean, I've honestly come around on a hot dog. I mean, the Jets have a really good dog here, the Jets dog. The one thing, there's one con about ordering a hot dog at a Jets game or even like any kind of sporting event. You cannot under any circumstance eat that at your seat. You have to eat it in the concourse.
Yeah.
Because I've seen too many people get put on the Jumbotron mid-dog and they're just scarfing their face with the hot dog and it is not a good look. You can't recover from it.
No, that's a valid. I would agree with that one, Tyce. I mean, plus these jerseys are like $400 nowadays. Like, man, I'm not risking any spilling, any condiments there. I mean, if you put ketchup on your hot dog, you deserve to have it spill all over your jersey. So there's that part of it. But
agreed.
I go soft pretzel all day, every day. All right. Good job there. We might save that for another week then. It's kind of like Squid Games, Tyson. You survive for the next game, and we'll see if you can make it one more time there. But thanks for joining us. I'd appreciate the help there. And yeah, looking forward to keeping this going here. But most importantly, thank all of you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Hockey Mailbag. As always, appreciate getting to hang with you beauties and talk a little hockey, have a little fun. Make sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And if you ever want to be a part of the podcast, again, just send your questions to hockeymailbag@gmail.com or to me on Twitter at @Brandon_Rewicki. We'll be back at it next week, Thursday morning. But until then, I'm your host, Brandon Rewicki of the Hockey Mailbag, and we look forward to talking puck with you guys again real soon.